You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's live installment of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Big round of applause is due to my good friend and compatriot, Keith Alexander, for his contributions to the show tonight and every week here with me. What we've done, folks, together is the stuff of legends, and we have the opportunity to expand our reach. I wrote about it earlier this week on the website. I'm just going to talk to you for a little bit, folks. I'm here in the studio flying solo here for tonight's final hour. We got a lot more news to get to, but first, we're just going to have what I like to call and so often referred to as a little good old-fashioned Southern porch talk. Second quarter fundraising drive. We don't like to talk about it, but it has to be done. It's important that it be done and be successful. We kicked off what I believe is the single most important fundraising drive in the 9-year history of our show earlier this week. We've made mention a couple of times this month that during the past 3 weeks, traffic to our impressively remodeled website has increased 110%. Our radio audience and online readership have never been more robust, and as always, other media outlets remain fascinated by our work. I'm going to be filming a interview for a documentary that's going to be aired on public broadcasting later this year, and a professional film crew is going to be flying into Memphis later this summer. We're going to be doing that taping. Folks, you look back on the portfolio of work and accomplishments that we've been able to garner together, and it's jaw-dropping. I mean, the fact when we went on the air in 2004 that we would make it a year, it had to be a million to one. I was just too stupid and stubborn to acknowledge it. But we didn't have a chance. But not only have we survived, we've thrived, and we have accomplished more than anyone, most certainly our enemies, would have ever dreamed possible. And we're currently positioned to take an incredible leap forward, above and beyond anything we've ever done before. I've been in discussions behind the scenes with two major public relations firms that seek to work on our behalf without having to change our signature issues whatsoever. These firms have offered to help us secure more primetime national media exposure, and they're also going to act as our representatives when the usual suspects launch their customary baseless attacks, such as the one hurled at us earlier this month by MSNBC's Rachel Maddow. Now, to have professional agents working for the political cesspool in this capacity is something that we've never had before, but above and beyond that, it will significantly move the needle for our heartfelt cause. But these professionals don't work for free. We need your immediate help. You know, we have these quarterly fundraising drives. 4 months out of the year, we're trying to bring enough grain into the storehouse to sustain our current level of operations, but also, in this case, to provide us with enough of a surplus so that we can take advantage of this unique and unprecedented opportunity. Now, you know why you donate to this show, ladies and gentlemen, is because we are the only mainstream media entity that seeks to advocate for the dispossessed majority here in America. We have the public name recognition and battle-tested record of consistent leadership that's going to be required to effectively bridge the gap between respectable conservatism and our more muscular brand of politics. I'm asking for your help. We kicked off the fundraising drive on Tuesday. It's going to run through June 30th. We need to make the benchmark. We're about a week into the quarterly appeal, and it has gotten off to a very slow start, save for a handful of people, and that would include this guy in Canada who we make mention of from time to time, who just, I mean, this guy, if we had 100 guys like that, we would surpass Bill O'Reilly. I mean, there would be no limit to what we could accomplish. And we have the most benevolent and the most generous audience in the world. And pound for pound, we have accomplished more than anyone out there in the media and on this network with the great Sam Bushman at the helm and Liberty News Radio. I mean, what we're doing here, folks, is worthy of support, if I do say so myself. But I'm asking you tonight, to consider potentially right away going to thepoliticalcesspool.org and helping us out. But certainly by the end of the month, we've got some great incentives for you. And I mentioned that a little bit earlier in the last segment. Keith Alexander, who has certainly become a star, not only of this show, but for the whole cause that we fight for. You donate $100 or more before June 30th, you're going to receive an audio CD containing the best of Keith Alexander. 10 hours of Keith Alexander commentary. And I'm glad that Keith handpicked these selections for you because, you know, the man's on the show every week, and every week he does an extraordinary job. How do you pick the top 10 from Keith? You know, I'm so OCD, I couldn't do it. But he did it. He picked 10 shows that are particularly meaningful to him, and we've put them on a CD, $100 or more before June 30th, and those will be yours. If you donate $200 or more before June 30th, you're going to get that Best of Keith Alexander CD, as well as a copy of the most recent edition of the Occidental Quarterly magazine, and a copy of the Good Old Southern Home Cooking Cookbook, a collection of recipes from some of the best kitchens in the South, compiled by Michael Andrew Grissom, author of Southern by the Grace of God. $300 or more, you're going to get all those incentives I just mentioned, plus you're going to be invited to participate in a VIP conference call with me and Keith, where we're going to be talking about how we can better improve the show going forward. So there you'll be able to give us your thoughts in private on a VIP secure conference call. Folks, all those are listed at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But donate tonight. Donate through June 30th and help us reach the goal that we've set, not only to, again, sustain our current operations, but to also take advantage of having professional emissaries, a professional marketing firm, a PR firm on our side, helping us get this message out without any sacrifice or compromise on our part. Folks, I guess after nearly 10 years, they figured if you can't beat them, join them. We are having an effect. We are having a positive effect. And you know, I have tried to lay low the last couple of months. I hate to be in perpetual fundraising mode, even though we perpetually need funds to keep the wheels on the wagon here. But, you know, it was very tough in the first quarter of this year because of the passing of Bill Rowland. You know, I guess there's a ceiling on how much we can expect to take in each quarter from our audience. But you know, I just felt led and compelled to take a significant portion of that which we raised during the first quarter and give it to Bill's widow and children. I mean, what do you do for one of your best friends? What do you do for a man who helped build this show from scratch and served with you all the way through, you know, his final days? I mean, you do everything you can for him and more. And that's what we did. And also, we renovated the website during the first quarter. So, you know, certainly a couple of expenses there that well, one was needed with the website. We promised we would do it, and we deliver on our promise. You know, we have absolute transparency here with you. Fundraising is distasteful. I remember Pat Buchanan telling me one time he just hated to do it. He couldn't even hardly bear to call his donors to thank them because it was just, you know, it was just something that he didn't feel comfortable doing. And we don't feel comfortable doing it either, but we'd feel a lot less comfortable if we didn't have the opportunity to serve on your behalf in the mainstream media. Folks, help us out. We're going to take a break and get back to business right after this. Stay tuned.
Ladies and gentlemen of our Liberty Roundtable audience, we invite you to consider joining us. We use the services of George Costello and Utah Document Solutions. They are your authorized Xerox sales agent. We've been experiencing great service, pricing, and results, and we've gotten to know George and his team at Utah Document Solutions, your authorized Xerox sales agent. We were facing a huge increase from our former supplier, and we've been pleased to enjoy great service and an even lower cost of our documents. We recommend that you check with George to see if he can save you money like he has for us. Call George at 801-216-4816. He is your authorized Xerox sales agent. The number again, 801-216-4816.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody. During that first segment to open up the third hour, basically, long story short, I was letting you know that the second quarter 2013 fundraising drive has officially kicked off for TPC. And when you're donating to the Political Cesspool, you're not only helping to keep our work on the air and helping us to, in this case, expand our reach, but you're also helping the network that syndicates our show. Because without Liberty News Radio, without the Bushman family, we wouldn't be here. And certainly without you, we wouldn't be here. In fact, what Keith Alexander and I do each week pales in comparison to the support that we receive. You know, you are the key ingredients, folks, in this puzzle. But we're going to be donating, as we always do, a percentage of our proceeds this month back to the network. And it's one hand washing the other here. And it's not just what we do on the radio that's making a difference. You know, just this weekend, Sam Bushman, owner of the network, it was in St. Louis addressing the CSPOA conference, and he had the opportunity to do a remote broadcast on Friday that was just absolutely outstanding of his Liberty Roundtable show. Keith Alexander is going to be on the road next week in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, speaking at the Council of Conservative Citizens Conference. And you know, I always go to these conferences and speak. I'm a proud member of the CFCC. I will not be able to make it this year, unfortunately, because of a couple of personal situations that I have to deal with that are pressing here at home. But I will be with you next Saturday on the air as Keith calls in from North Carolina, where he'll be speaking. Of course, we did a live remote broadcast last year from the council as well. So much more than just talking to you each week on the radio. We're on the road. We're reaching out. And you look back on our portfolio over the course of the last decade, you know, the CNN interviews, the fact that, you know, national television shows are mentioning us, it seems, on a regular basis. 250 prominent newspapers and magazines, the Los Angeles Times, London Times, New York Times, Newsweek, they've all covered our work. Reporters from Die Zeit in Germany and other international publications have been dispatched all the way to Memphis to conduct in-person interviews with us. We've been mentioned in New York Times best-selling books. Even the Jimmy Kimmel Live show comedy shows. Late night comedy shows have incorporated TPC interviews into their skits. Hollywood can't ignore what we do. Entertainment Tonight's contacted us for interviews. Assortment of celebrity gossip publications. Warner Brothers even wanted to work with us as they promoted the re-release of Gods and Generals a couple of years ago. Howard Stern, NPR, they talk about the political cesspool. I've spoken at the National Press Club. Our growing list of on-air celebrity guests from Kylie Basuti last week in Victoria's Secret, Ray Stevens, Congressman Walter Jones, Buchanan, you name it. You know, we are making a difference here, folks, thanks to the support that you give us. And I'm telling you that, you know, you take all that we've done in the last 10 years and start saying, well, what if you start making, you know, those big inroads each and every month? Well, I think that's what we have the opportunity to do right now. But it's going to take a big push between now and June 30th. And we're counting on you to help make that possible. And with that being said, we're going to get back to the show. Had a great exchange with Keith Alexander. I guess it was the first hour where we were talking about the fall of the IQ of Westerners. And again, folks, that's us, if you had any illusion of that fact. But the fact that it's fallen 14 points since 1884. Now, obviously and surely, the audience of the political cesspool represents the exception to that rule. But this is what the story reads, just to give you a little bit more background. And I think we've pretty much beaten this horse to death, and we covered it a little bit more thoroughly than I had originally expected to during the first hour. But just to give you the full disclosure, the story suggests that technology is getting smarter, but a provocative new story suggests that human intelligence is on the decline. In fact, it indicates that Westerners have lost 14 IQ points on average since the Victorian era. What exactly explains this decline? The co-author of this study, who is a professor of work and organizational psychology at the University of Amsterdam, points to the fact that women of high intelligence tend to have fewer children than do women of lower intelligence. This negative association between IQ and fertility has been demonstrated time and time again in research over the last century. And, you know, I ask the rhetorical question, how much longer can civilized society sustain this disturbing trend? You have the poorer, the more uneducated reproducing, and that's their right. I'm not suggesting that we curtail anyone's freedom to have children, but why discourage the more intelligent? You know, people always dismiss eugenics as some sort of a bizarre or extremist practice, but all eugenics is the notion that the most intelligent of our people should be encouraged to reproduce. And I absolutely wholeheartedly agree with that. But you know, because the most intelligent of our people care for their offspring, you know, they can only afford to have the number of kids, as Keith Alexander so often mentions, that they can afford to send to private schools. And then you have feminism that's afflicting a lot of women. And that's certainly contributing to a lower birth rate. But, you know, absolutely, the best and the brightest should be the ones who are rewarded or at the very least encouraged to reproduce. But because this isn't the case, and this is, you know, the opposite of eugenics is dysgenics, and this is what's in place either obtusely or in an unspoken manner in the Western world. 1884 to 2013 is not a very long time in the history of recorded civilization, yet during that time period, we have dropped 14 IQ points. Folks, this is a scary story, scary enough that we bring it up twice in the same show. Trends suggest that this will continue to be the case. So you go another 150 years, you drop another 15 IQ points or more. How about another 300 years? Well, within another millennium, you know, the cavemen will have this beat. It's scary. Now, you know, this is something that needs to be addressed, and intelligent people would address it. But because our God now is multiculturalism and diversity, we have to pretend that the people who are practicing cannibalism and sorcery are every bit as much interchangeable with the lawyers and doctors today who have two children or less. And that's just not the case. All right, skipping over to Kansas City, another example of diversity being our greatest strength. The headline reads, teen, and I'll put in quotations the word teen, sentenced in the rape of an 84-year-old woman. Who would want to rape an 84-year-old woman? Well, apparently this teen in Kansas City. And he's been sentenced to life in prison for the rape during a break-in at the home that this woman shared with her 93-year-old husband. God bless these people. They lived 93 and 84 years old, respectively, only to one day have a visit by multiculturalism and diversity. I mean, this teenager was certainly diverse, let's just put it that way. The sentence was imposed Wednesday on the 19-year-old, and it also includes a total of 10 years for kidnapping and robbery, so he got life plus 10. The prosecutor says in all, Putnam is expected to spend 34 years behind bars. So if you get a life sentence plus 10 years, that equals 34 years in the American justice system, apparently. The woman told police that she came home from running errands, heard her husband moaning, and confronted the intruder who demanded money. The woman gave the intruder $400, after which he raped her and drove off in the couple's vehicle with some jewelry. He was arrested about 30 minutes later. One day you would have to hope that normal people will wake up and say that enough's enough. But just the story itself, teen sentenced in the rape of an 84-year-old woman. I mean, how many times do you think you have to see that headline in the early 1950s before America became properly diversified? Think about it. We'll be back.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I feel like I've gone back to 2005, 2006 here or something. It is so rare now that we have rounded out the Political Cesspool's all-star stable of talent, my hosting staff, Keith Alexander, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Winston Smith, of course, the late Bill Rowland's name should be included in that if he wasn't taken from us so prematurely. But it's been years, it seems, since I've had the show all to myself. You know, got the all-stars here, got to work them in the rotation. But it's fun. We're going to cover a lot of ground here over the course of the final 30 minutes. And it's good to just be able to talk to you one-on-one. It's something that I've missed since the early days. But I wouldn't trade it for the world because, I mean, when you have the talent that we've got, you just got to exploit it. And so, you know, I'm going to ride these guys until they can't carry me anymore. But, you know, if you read some of the hysterical news reports about me and about this show, you'll be led to believe that I'm driven by nothing but pure, unadulterated hatred. And the fact of the matter is, nothing could be further from the truth. Unless, of course, telling the truth is hate by modern definition. But in all honesty, folks, as anyone who truly knows and understands this show would attest, my work on the radio stems from a natural and healthy love for my people. Nothing more, nothing less. Other than having to participate in fundraising drives, which we have to do to keep the show on the air, I truly don't hate anything in this world. And if I did hate anybody, if I had to pick somebody that, you know, even though I don't hate anybody, if a gun was to my head and you say, listen, you point to somebody, you have to pick somebody, who would it be? If you hated anybody, who would it be? It'd be white liberals. It wouldn't be, you know, blacks or Jews or, you know, anybody who is out there doing what they should be doing, which is advancing the rights of their people as they see it and advancing their culture and serving as a standard bearer for their family. You know, that's, I applaud them for that. Now, certainly I'll take issue when it encroaches upon the rights and freedoms of my people, but no, I mean, you know, they're just doing what they should be doing. And, you know, yeah, so it would be white liberals who, you know, would be the recipients of my ire. Yeah, if it ever came down to that, because, you know, at the end of the day, everyone ought to be entitled to representatives and spokespeople who advance the cause of their people. And certainly, as we've said 1,000 times on this show, if we've said it once, everybody is entitled to that, of course, but our people. And when our people do it, it's mischaracterized and falsely labeled as hate and supremacy and so on and so forth, which couldn't be further from the truth as far as this show is concerned. But we will point out double standards. We will talk about the taboo issues of race and politics because it exists and no one's talking about it honestly. So we're going to put the onus on ourselves and we're going to do it because nobody else will. Not because we want to. God knows it's not because, you know, we're lining our pockets because of it. You know, that's certainly not the case. I mean, we have received a little bit of fame and notoriety from it, but nothing that I'd wish on a redheaded stepchild, because so often the fame or publicity we receive is attacking us. But this is a story that comes up here that I think, in a nutshell, is a fine representation of why the political cesspool came to be and why we're still here after 9 long, hard years. A Northwestern University student was denied a position on his student government council because he is a, quote, white heterosexual male. So you got this student, basically. He applies for a position on the student government, but is denied and is told that he is being denied because he's a white heterosexual male. I know it's racist for me to say, but I don't think that's right. I don't think that anybody should be turned away because of who they are or what they believe. I think the best person for the job, the most qualified candidate or applicant, should receive the position. But here's the story. Northwestern University student government says heterosexual white males are not capable of serving the minority community. Therefore, they can't serve on the student government. A student's bid to become associate vice president at Northwestern University was derailed last Wednesday over accusations that his status as a white heterosexual male would make it impossible for him to perform his duties, whatever that means. The Wednesday hearing began when student Senator Jesse Seitz reportedly asking the nominee, Stephen Piotrowski, how he could possibly interact and serve a minority community as a white male. The student reportedly attempted to appeal to the student senate on the grounds that he identifies as a religious minority and has a lesbian sister, but it was to no avail. All right, so basically, I'll just sum this up real quick. You got this guy. He wants to serve on his student government, as we just mentioned, hence the headline. He's denied because they think he's a white heterosexual male. Well, he says, well, hey, now, hang on. Don't hold that against me. I have a sister who's a lesbian, and in fact, I'm a Jew, if that counts as anything. And normally it would. Believe me, normally it would. But I guess because he just looked white to them, they were just so far advanced or progressive in their way of thinking that they just said, hey, I guess what's done is done. You know, we've already denied you. There ain't no falling back on the Jewish thing now. But, you know, that's sick. I mean, let's just say that he had a sister who was a heterosexual and he wasn't Jewish. Does that make it any better? You know, do you have to be Jewish or have a lesbian sister now if you look white to serve on a student council at Northwestern University? Folks, this is sick. I mean, you know, could you imagine if it had been an all-white student council saying, hey, because you are a homosexual black person, you can't serve here? Well, the seventh level of hell would be raised throughout the media. Every national newspaper and television show and radio show would be talking about it, how horrible this is. But this guy, it gets dismissed on the exact same grounds, except for the fact that they considered him to be a heterosexual white male, and nothing. I guarantee you, we are the only radio show in the world that talked about this week, even though it just happened. Well, this is why the political cesspool exists. We believe that there should be equal rights for all and special privileges for none. Whites should not be discriminated against. End of story. And if that makes me a racist, if that's what the modern day definition of racism is, that, I believe that there should be equal rights for all and special privileges for none, and that whites deserve a fair shake in the Obama era of welfare and affirmative action and set-asides and quotas, then so be it. Well, nobody else has the guts to do it, so this is what I'm going to do. This is what this show's all about. Another story here, you know, speaking about welfare and quotas and set-asides, you know, I'm so glad that states can find enough room in their budgets to dole out food stamps and free cell phones and other taxpayer-funded goodies to the dregs of society. I'm glad there's money in the budget to do that, but God forbid there be enough money in the budget to adequately fund police protection. A 911 dispatcher in Oregon tells a woman who is about to be sexually assaulted that there are no cops to help her due to budget cuts. This story comes from the CBS affiliate in Seattle out of Josephine County, Oregon. An Oregon woman was told by a 911 dispatcher that authorities wouldn't be able to help her as her ex-boyfriend broke into her place because of budget cuts. Oregon Public Radio reports that an unidentified woman called 911 during a weekend in August 2012 while Michael Bella was breaking into her apartment. Her call was forwarded to the Oregon State Police, but because of layoffs, the Josephine County Sheriff's Office only allows the department to be open Monday through Friday. I don't have anybody to send out there, the 911 dispatcher told the woman. You know, obviously, if he comes in the residence and assaults you, you can ask him to go away. The woman told the dispatcher that Bella previously attacked her and left her hospitalized a few weeks prior to the latest incident. The dispatcher stayed on the phone with the woman for more than 10 minutes before the sexual assault did indeed took place. Once again, it's unfortunate that you guys don't have any law enforcement out there, the dispatcher told the woman. The woman responded, yeah, it doesn't matter because if he gets in the house, I'm done. So basically what you have here is two things. Number one, our state governments are too preoccupied again with allocating money from the taxpayers to keep the dregs well-funded and welfare than to provide police protection. So this woman ended up getting raped while on the phone with the 911 dispatcher because there weren't enough cops. Number two, if she'd had a gun, if it wasn't for the anti-gun climate of Oregon and other blue states, she might not have had to call 911 in the first place. Two things to think on while we go to this next break. Stay tuned, everybody.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
If you love pineapple as much as I do, I've got some great news for you. You're going to love this offer from Freeze Dry Guy. For the month of May, Freeze Dry Guy is offering the finest quality freeze-dried pineapple. A case of six number 10 cans yielding 114 servings at a special introductory price. First quality freeze-dried pineapple grown and packed with nothing added. This healthy treat works wonders with salad. It's great for snacking, hiking, hunting, camping, and for adding to your food storage program. And please note that Freeze Dry Guy's foods will store on your shelf for decades. Order now and get free shipping to your front door within the lower 48 states. This special introductory price is good until May 31st. For more information and a free complete product list, go to freezedryguy.com or phone 866-404-3663. freezedryguy.com, 866-404-3663.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the final segment of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. Don't forget to go ahead and make plans in advance to be with us next Saturday as Keith Alexander will be broadcasting live from the 2013 Council of Conservative Citizens Conference in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Keith will be speaking there. I should be there, but I've got, regrettably, and I hate it, that I won't be able to go because attending the CFCC conferences each year and broadcasting live from there is always among my annual highlights. But this year, just a couple of things happening behind the scenes here in the Edwards household that I've got to take care of. And it's just I'm a victim of circumstance and bad timing. But Keith will be there. And he wants to see you there, folks. He wants to meet you. You know, a lot of the attendees at the CFCC annual conferences are fans of the Political Cesspool. And so if you're going to be there in Winston-Salem, North Carolina next Friday and Saturday, you'll be able to shake the hand of Keith Alexander the Great. And if you've not yet made plans to attend the CFCC conference, you can do so by going to cfcc.org. That's the Council of Conservative Citizens, cfcc.org. And again, that conference is coming up next week. I'll be here in the studio in Memphis. Keith will be there, and together we'll bring you the show. So either be there live or be sure to be tuned in live on the radio. Either way, it's going to be an incredible show. Again, one of the annual highlights that we have each year going and broadcasting at the CFCC conference. Another highlight that we have each year is, without question, our Confederate History Month series, which takes place each and every April here on the Political Cesspool radio program. And I got a couple of Confederate-themed stories to round things out this evening. First one bad, last thing good. We'll end up on a more uplifting note. But a New York lawyer moved to Virginia, and the first thing he wanted to do was to persuade the county to tear down its Confederate monument, which graces the courthouse there in Loudoun County, Virginia. It's the case of John Flannery, a lawyer from the Bronx, who is advocating to have a statue removed from the front of a courthouse in Leesburg, Virginia. The statue was erected in 1908 to honor the Confederate soldiers who valiantly defended Virginia from Lincoln and his Yankee hordes. This is what the story reads. A statue of a Confederate soldier that has stood in front of the historic courthouse in Leesburg, Virginia since 1908 is now being called inappropriate. And a local lawyer from New York, nonetheless, says that it should be removed. The statue was erected to honor the war dead at a time, 1908, when many Civil War veterans were still alive. The statue shows a Confederate soldier standing guard with his rifle ready. God bless him. An inscription carved into the stone monument reads, "In memory of the Confederate soldiers of Loudoun County, Virginia, erected May 28, 1908. Attorney John Flannery, though, who often has cases in the courthouse, wants the statue moved elsewhere. He says it intimidates some of his clients. Well, I wonder what kind of clients these could be. It deters people. It scares them. It makes them believe that they can't get a fair shake in this courthouse," he says. Flannery says he's actually had clients who are afraid to go into the building after seeing the statue. What in the hell kind of people are this? You know, I don't even have words for a story this ridiculous. They're scared to go in the courthouse because a statue that's been there since 1908 is giving them the willies. They don't think they're going to get a fair shake because there's a statue out in front of the courthouse. It's madness. But because political correctness is in its terminal stage. I mean, political correctness is a disease far worse than cancer or Ebola. And it's terminal. America is in its terminal stage now. And because we are there, stories like this actually get a fair hearing, or not only a fair hearing, a biased hearing in court, and the bias doesn't shift our way. It's a living courthouse, which already has challenges in terms of discrimination, in terms of persons of color, so says this lawyer from New York, who again moved to Virginia and instantly started causing trouble. Most of the people In Virginia, the story goes on to say, have no problem with the statue, but God forbid this lawyer from New York does. Practically every county that I've ever been in Virginia has a Confederate memorial or monument, says Gene Scheel, noting that Richmond has a whole row of them. Of course, Richmond being the former capital of the Confederacy. Richard Gallagher, who was actually once a client of Flannery's, says he's surprised by the idea of moving the statue. I think it's crazy. It's part of our history. Flannery says the statue should be removed, should not be at the courthouse, but he does say he expects to get opposition to his crusade to remove it. Well, I hope he does. And while we're at it, if he, as the Yankee scallywag that he is, coming from New York to tell Virginians what they can and can't have in front of their courthouses, if he's so offended by the statue, if he's so offended by Virginians, hey, buddy, I'll buy you a ticket to get back to New York and you can keep your you-know-what there. You know, why would anybody in that county tolerate a guy like this? I mean, there should be no tolerance for this. I mean, where's his tolerance? You know, you always hear about the practitioners of tolerance and diversity. They never extend the benefits of tolerance when it comes to our beliefs and our heroes. The diversity that we bring to the table, they don't want. They're absolute hypocrites. They're scumbags. That's the story from Virginia. However, the same week that this story comes to light, a columnist in West Virginia defends President Jefferson Davis. And it's good to know that there's still at least one objective columnist out there somewhere. And this story, I don't have it in front of me now, but it was from a publication in West Virginia. But this is what it reads. When was the last time you visited Stone Mountain Park with the world-famous carving of legendary Americans, Jefferson Davis, Robert E. Lee, and Stonewall Jackson? Or a beautiful Hollywood cemetery in Richmond, Virginia, where Jefferson Davis is buried? You've probably seen or heard about the movie Lincoln, which was produced and directed by famed film director Steven Spielberg in 2012. The movie has been called superb and did have an excellent cast that included veteran actors Tommy Lee Jones and Sally Field. Which, as liberal as they are, Tommy Lee Jones is a great actor. I'll give him that. He was Al Gore's roommate, so you know he can't be one of us, but a great actor. Anyway, the story continues. Hollywood has produced movies about Abraham Lincoln, some good, some bad, others forgettable, like Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, but I don't remember any made about the life and times of Jefferson Davis. During these politically correct times, Southerners are often depicted on TV and in the movies as backward and dumb. The truth is that the South is the birthplace of many intelligent, well-spoken, and patriotic people, like that of Jefferson Davis, who was a great orator. And there was standing room only on the floors of the United States Senate when he delivered his February 9, 1861 resignation speech as a Mississippi senator. Mr. Spielberg, would you direct and produce a movie about Jefferson Davis, who, like Lincoln, was born in the state of Kentucky? The time is long overdue for school teachers throughout this nation to teach not only the historical facts about Abraham Lincoln, but also those about Jefferson Davis. Jefferson Davis, like many Southerners, was against secession but realized and recognized that the sovereignty of each state of the Union and their constitutional right to secede. Jefferson Davis was born on June 3, 1808 in Christian County, Kentucky. Davis, who had become the first and only president of the Confederate States of America, had these accomplishments. Graduate of West Point Military Academy, fought valiantly in the war with Mexico. He was a United States Senator, Secretary of War under President Franklin Pierce, first to suggest the Transcontinental Railroad to link the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans, first to suggest the Panama Canal Zone, suggested the purchase of Cuba, appointed Robert E. Lee as superintendent of West Point Military Academy, on and on and on. The funeral of Jefferson Davis was attended by thousands of mourners. Milo Cooper, a former servant, traveled all the way from Florida to pay his last respects. It's written that upon entering Davis's sick room, Cooper burst into tears, threw himself on the knees in prayer that God would spare the life of his old master and bless the Davis family. Davis is buried again, as we said, at Hollywood Cemetery in Richmond, Virginia. The Jefferson Davis Monument State Historic Site is a Kentucky state park preserving the birthplace of Jefferson Davis, the President of the Confederate States of America. It's located in Fairview, Kentucky, in Todd County. God bless America's heroes of yesterday and today. Well, folks, that article was written by an author whose bio states that he is a writer, speaker, and author of the book When America Stood for God, Family, and Country. He's a member of the Sons of Confederate Veterans. Good for him. He should be a great guest on this show. That's all the time I have for tonight, folks. I'm James Edwards on behalf of Keith, Eddie, Winston, the rest of the cast and crew, Sam Dixon, and the network. God bless you. We'll talk to you next week.